phenomena you are about to witness could well revolutionize your way of thinking. We are presenting startling facts and evidence that take up where other explanations leave off. Some of these revelations may very well go against things you have been taught and perhaps believed all your life. Prepare yourself for the evidence which will follow.
That's right, it's that Riot Show back again with all the latest happenings, opinions, and reviews of what's going on in the world. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Lariem.
Usually we record on Friday nights in our Brooklyn studios, the Riotous Studios in Brooklyn, New York. But today, it's Monday afternoon. You and I have decided to make a day of it. We've brought some steaks. Nice.
Nice steaks, and we're going to riot on Monday.
And we got a couple of beers. Cerveza.
Do we want our fans to know that?
No, but maybe they can tell later
on. We could be inebriated.
Yes. But we had ourselves a nice steak lunch. Some nice steak, some nice beer.
That was nice.
Do you have any of those ice cream sandwiches?
I had four.
That Phil brought over?
Oh, that was good.
Wasn't that good? Just the perfect. You know, ladies and gentlemen, speaking, when you have a nice steak that's well grilled,
yep.
Have some nice BBQ sauce with that,
yep.
Maybe a nice Blue Moon Hefeweizen ale.
Yeah, or an IPA.
Or an nice. IPA, yeah. Very nice in your case. The perfect thing, and Phil totally surprised us with this.
Yes.
Brought a box of those Good Humor vanilla ice cream sandwiches.
The sandwiches are awesome.
Weren't they great? They're just the perfect finisher.
It's actually the perfect horrible dessert for
your
body.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it? I know we sound like white trash, like we're from the South or something. You like the way I keep associating white trash with the South?
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I'm just racist on my own. What is it? Is that racist or geography-racist?
Yeah, Northeastern snob.
There you go. That must be
it. I normally associate it with Canada. So
Canada. The least offensive country on the planet.
Next to Liechtenstein. Thank you.
All right. It is That Riot Show. Let's take a few minutes out to pimp out what we're all about. Go to thatriotshow.com. You can catch all the latest riotous happenings over there, as well as our past archival shows. Always go to thatriotshow.com for your base of operations. If you're into Facebook, go to facebook.com/thatriotshow, all one word, facebook.com/thatriotshow, or head on over to Twitter, where you can follow us trolling various celebrities, politicians, and other ne'er-do-wells. Go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. And of course, the riotous clips, as well as those people that can't listen to us on iTunes for whatever reason, because you hate iTunes or you don't have an Apple device or whatever, you can always go to youtube.com and search for That Riot Show. You'll find all of our shows and riotous clips there. So, Judah Lariem, that's it for the pimping. You want to get into some topics?
Yeah, now it's time to move on to...
All right, the first thing I want to talk about here is last week, of course, the senseless murder of a young man, Chris Lane.
Yeah, the Australian.
The Australian.
Baseball player,
college baseball player, played catcher for his team. Gunned down, apparently, for no other reason other than three teenagers were quote unquote bored.
Yeah.
And they needed something to do.
Yeah.
So they shot this guy in the back, killed him almost instantly. I mean, he lingered on for a few minutes, but for all intents and purposes, shot him dead where he stood. And I have to ask you a question, Judah Lariem. In any of the newspaper accounts, was the race of either victim or assailant ever mentioned?
No, not at all.
Why?
Well,
do you think there's a reason for that? Were they all the same race? Did they feel perhaps that there was no racial motivation to this?
No, I'm going to go on the assumption then that the attackers were black and the victim is white.
Really? Why would you make that assumption?
Because I remember one time we were talking about this very quickly with one of Michael Moore's movies where he did like Bowling for Columbine or something, and he wanted to show how dangerous guns were. Now, you know, throughout the whole movie, he's showing the pictures of killers and guns and violence and, you know, all through, except he gets to this one part, and I'll just make this point very quickly. He gets to one point where this little white girl was shot in his hometown of Flint, Michigan, by her classmate. They were both 6 years old.
Right.
And I remember they just showed a picture of her, and he said, a gun, he does that sad voice. He goes, a gun killed this poor girl. And, you know, it's a tragic story. And I remember saying, he's showing all this stuff throughout the whole movie, the pictures, the interviews, everything, but he didn't show the picture of the shooter.
Uh-huh.
So I have to admit, I became very curious about him. I remember after I saw the movie, I Googled the story, and the kid who shot it was like a little blanket.
Right.
He found the gun in his uncle's house.
Right.
And for whatever reason, you know, and look, I know it sounds horrible, but the truth is, if somebody white shoots whoever, especially if they're not white, they cover it like crazy. They show you their picture. They tell you where they live. They're horrible people.
They tell you the race of the assailant and the victim.
Yeah, but not in cases like this.
Right. And to me, before someone starts yelling and screaming, I've been through this on Twitter and Facebook, folks. The point here is that we're not saying that it's any better or worse if the victim is white or black.
Right. Why don't they just show it?
Murder is murder. But if you're the vulture goddamn press, the mainstream media, why is it that you jump on the chance to tell me that Trayvon Martin was a black teenager and that George Zimmerman was a white Hispanic? First time I've ever heard that phrase in the media.
Yeah.
They went to great lengths to make you know he was at least partially white.
Yeah.
The fact that he identifies as a Hispanic didn't matter. No. They had to let you know that he was partially white. White man killing black child.
Right. If you watch like CNN and some of those, they just referred to him as white.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Right. Exactly. But in this case, now the shooters in this case were 17 and 16, I believe. They were all teenagers. The two gunmen were black.
Right.
The wheelman was white.
Okay.
Okay. Now, again, I can't, and Chris Lane was white, of course, Australian national here on scholarship, basically. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But let me ask you this. Again, to me, we said this in last week's episode, Judo Lariam, we don't even believe in hate crime laws because murder is murder.
Right.
But again, where are you, pussy media? Where are you, gutless media? Why don't you say two black kids gunned down a white man or white college kid
teenager
in the back for no reason other than they were bored? Again, I can't emphasize this enough. My beef is not with the way the case is being handled by the legal system.
No.
I don't even know how that.
It's
and again,
the reporting.
Yeah, it's something that needs to play itself out in terms of the legal thing. What, you know, the trial, the fairness, the collection of data, whatever. But why isn't the media, why doesn't CNN say two black kids shot a white man? If it's that important. If it warrants getting put on the news, either mention the race of everyone every time.
Right.
Or don't mention it at all.
Right.
This selective reporting is what stokes the flames of racial unrest. And on top of that, it's what gives power to assholes like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and anybody else who decides to make a living off the racial conflicts of others.
Yeah, they're just race hucksters.
Yes, they're clowns.
Yeah.
They're race sycophants. Whatever you want to call them, their only reason for existence. Like, if everybody got along tomorrow, Judah Lariam, Jesse Jackson would be out of a job.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton would be out of a job.
Yeah.
Chris Matthews, all those assholes at MSNBC would be out of a job.
They'd have nothing to complain
about. And I'm sorry, liberals. I'm sorry. The people who live the most off of this are liberals, are leftists.
Right.
Right. You can call conservatives or libertarians or whoever on the right, you could call them racist. But the truth of the matter is they don't make a living off continued racial conflict the way the left does.
Yeah. They cover this like crazy.
Yeah.
But they're not going to cover this story.
No.
This will be in and out of the news before you know it.
And of course, the ex-Australian prime minister got up and said that Australians should withhold their tourism dollars from the United States because of our lousy gun laws.
Yeah, well, they have very strict gun laws over there.
Right. But explain to me how a gun law would have prevented this.
Yeah.
Three teenagers who, because they were bored, you know, there's some speculation that it may have been in a gang initiation or whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, when they were arrested, they said, why did you shoot this guy? The cops interviewing, why did you shoot this guy? The response came back, we were bored.
Right. That's unbelievable.
Why not look at the problem of where are their parents? Why not look at the problem of the society, the culture that engenders kids to say, I'm bored, so I have to shoot somebody.
Or I have to just even to hurt somebody.
Or to hurt somebody, or to rob, or to anything. I mean,
the same thing happened to this old guy who was a World War II veteran.
Yes, I just saw that.
I think he died now.
Oh, did he?
I believe he passed on it from the beating that these punks gave.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Why not just look at it as thuggery? Why is it that it's only news if it's a white assailant on a black or Hispanic victim?
Right.
And actually, I'll be honest, Hispanics get the short end of the stick, too. They don't get mentioned as victims as often as, like, blacks do. Right. At least in the coverage that I've seen, Northeast. Absolutely. Southwest or something, it's different. But
Whenever whites get shot, though, it's just reported as like a crime statistic. Yeah. It's always been the case.
And now I've even looked at some of these black authors and black newsmen who are trying to spin it that whites cause as much crime as blacks according to FBI statistics.
That's laughable.
And you know what's hilarious about it is that these guys don't know the first thing about statistics. So here's the thing. In terms of total murders and gun violence, it is true that whites as a group commit the same total number of crimes as blacks do in this country. Well, that is true.
That's probably true.
Yes. But what these guys don't realize is there's six times as many white people in this country as there are black people. Right? So when you look at that, you say a group that's six times more populous versus a group, so the per capita rate, obviously,
12 or 13% of the population compared to about 65% of the population.
So what you're looking at is a per capita rate for blacks, black on black crime, is five or six times more prevalent per capita than it is for white people. And now you're trying to skew these statistics like, hey, it's not black on black crime that's the issue. And my question to you, Judah Lariam, is how are you going to save your own community if you won't admit the problem? Again, we're not even saying what causes this crime. Like, I could maybe tolerate some of this liberal claptrap that it's poverty, it's not spending enough money on poor people, whatever. There's not enough redistribution of wealth. I'm not even addressing that. I'm just saying when you deny that there's an existence of this type of behavior,
right,
how are you going to correct it?
Yeah, you can't. Well, obviously, you can't address any problem that you're just not even willing to acknowledge.
Right.
And clearly, in cases like this, they just want to ignore it.
Right.
They don't want to ignore it. If this had been two white kids who shot a black kid just because they were bored.
Right. Oh, shit.
Forget it. You'd never hear the end of it. And I also agree with your assessment that it stokes racial passions, because the problem with this kind of stupid reporting is, look, all we're saying here is, look, like you said before, you're going to cover it? Fine. You're going to tell me what the color of the assailant is? Fine. Then tell me the color of the victim and do it every time out.
Right.
Don't play favorites. Don't do this. Don't do that. And don't, all these speculations. I mean, look, whether he was killed because they were bored or because it was a gang initiative, neither is good.
Right.
But bored is demented.
Yeah.
And that's really nuts.
Both of them are just ridiculous. Look, when you're motivated to murder someone, unless it's self-defense,
yeah, you're gone.
Forget it. You're already unstable as a human being.
Exactly.
So to me, whether you did it because of the color of the guy's skin, his ethnicity, his religion, whatever, it doesn't matter. You've lost your contact with the human race at that point. Right. Anything outside of self-defense. There's a reason why those things are reserved for wars.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's be honest here, CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, whoever. Either report the races every time or stop doing it altogether.
Right.
I don't care which one you choose.
I mean, if they want to report it that a teenager was shot today by two other teenagers, fine.
Exactly.
Stop the story right there.
Right.
You can tell me their age, but then after that...
Yeah, and tell me if they did it because they were bored, if that's what the thing is. That's fine. But here's the funny part, Judah Lariam. In one of those things I tweeted out, I think it was the New York Post here in New York City. They actually ran the picture of the assailant and the victim, and they still failed to mention the race.
Yeah.
So even when the picture was staring us in the face, they were too cowardly to tell you that the assailants were black and the victim was white.
Right.
Even when the picture was there. Now, you might say, well, if the picture was there, why did they have to mention it?
Right.
Well, they did for Trayvon.
Yeah, sure.
Right? They would say, here's Trayvon at 12 years old, this smiling black kid in a nice suit. And here's white Hispanic George Zimmerman.
Yeah, white Hispanic.
Right?
And they show
like, I mean, they made it a point.
Right.
They didn't even let you come to the conclusion that, hey, this guy doesn't look too white. He looks kind of Mexican to me or whatever.
Yeah, he looks Hispanic.
Right, exactly.
Which is exactly what he is.
I mean. Exactly. So this is what really got my goat last week was this cowardice on the part of the media. Super cowardice.
Yeah, no, this is, but they've been doing this for a while.
I mean, I know. It's nothing new, but it's really outrageous because now it seems like the whole country, it's just waiting for the next racial conflict.
But it's only a conflict if a minority gets killed.
Yes.
There was also a recent story about a young white girl who was killed in New Jersey by a couple of black guys who like lured her into a house and they killed her. And they got like no coverage at all. No. There was like a little blurb about it, and then it was out of the news.
It happens all the time, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I've heard this, some other people say this, but it is the assumption of a paternalistic liberal that somehow whites are held to a higher standard than blacks.
Yes.
Right? So, for example, well, you cover it when a white man kills a black man because white men should know better.
Right.
But well, if a black man does it to a white man, it's okay. It's because of years of oppression. It's because basically they can't control themselves. Is that what you're telling me, media?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me, paternalistic liberals? That it's a white man's burden? Is that what you're telling me? Are we still stuck in those ages, Judo Larian?
Yeah, they definitely approach this as, even like you see it in just in schools, they always expect more from whites. They don't say it that way, but they expect more. They expect different behavior. They expect different reactions.
But that's for economic reasons.
Yeah.
It's for poverty reasons.
Yeah, that's such bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit. See, I've always said that it's just as racist for you to be that much of a coddling liberal as it is for the most virulent, you know, like Tea Party asshole that you could come up with.
Right.
Right? Because for me to say, oh, well, you don't expect them to be civilized, do you? How racist is that?
Yeah.
That is the most racist thing I could think of. Or... poor thing, you can't handle yourself. Let me take care of you.
Yeah, I understand that. And the leaders of the black community who go along with this should be ashamed.
Yeah.
They really should. You should never let anybody tell you can't behave like a civilized human being.
Of course not.
You should never let somebody look at you and say, "Look, you're such a poor unfortunate, like you can't cut it."
Right.
You know, even if you throw in the history of racism in this country and racism still is a mitigating factor, you can't let somebody look at you and say, well, you know what? You can't accomplish.
Right.
You can't do so. You know,
you're genetically incapable of achievement.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying, basically.
Well, no, but they're saying that your race makes it impossible for you to get ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that old Chris Rock joke. He goes, like, when you're white, he goes, the sky's the limit. When you're black, the limit's the sky.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But that's really not right. I mean, and that's not the way it should be.
Well, that's why we always, you know, people of our thinking are always advocating not for equality of results, but equality of opportunity. That's what we always preach. Now, you may say that's horseshit, but it really is the truth. Nobody is going to be equal in this world. People achieve and fail on their own because of their abilities, because of their work ethic, because of their talents, because of their genetics, because of their environment. There's a lot of things that go into whether you're going to be successful or not, whether you're going to be happy or not. This concept that all of us should be equally happy, equally successful,
right,
is something that's really just recent in history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Outside of this country, outside of the last 30, 40 years, people expected that some people would just die, would be miserable.
Right.
Would not achieve, would not succeed. The crime in that situation is if you assume someone shouldn't succeed, therefore you don't give them the opportunity to succeed. Yeah. That's the crime.
Yeah, we're moving, and unfortunately, more and more towards a society where, you know, you talked about like the bullying, you talked about like the economic disparities. You know, the problem is you have a certain amount of people who just want to take the risk out of life.
Right.
They just want guarantees and, you know, then other than like once they get their guarantees, they just want to go about their lives. But all that does is kill any ambition you have, any
innovation, motivation
to do anything, your creativity, it just goes down.
Right.
You don't want people, trust me, you don't want people just to hand you shit and just say, well, here it is. You don't have to really do very much for it.
Right. But
we'll take care of you, and I
have good friends that are like that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not like we're saying this is just young kids. That we have friends that have chosen not to pursue, say, a promotion, not to pursue a new job,
right,
not to pursue a hobby, whatever, simply because there were no guarantees involved. What happens to the entrepreneurs? What happens to the risk takers that propel the rest of society forward?
Right.
Like, you have to understand, this concept that everybody moves together at the same rate is horseshit. Usually, it's these innovators and risk takers that figure something out and drag the rest of society with us. And I don't care if it's science, business, the arts. It's never this collective thinking where the government says, hey, guess what? We're all going to be wonderful engineers today. It doesn't work that way.
No, that's ridiculous.
It takes a Henry Ford to create the assembly line for vehicles that brings the rest of the country with him.
Right.
It takes a Steve Jobs who invents the iPod, the iPhone, the Mac, and shit like that. It takes a Wozniak. It takes those guys to drag the rest of us along with them.
Right.
It takes a Tim Berners-Lee to invent the internet. Sorry, Al Gore. What do you think? We all came up with the internet together? Do we think that someone in Congress said we're going to have a government project to build the internet, the ARPANET? Bullshit. It was individuals who invented things, or groups, small groups of individuals on their own who took risks and then said, now society, follow us.
Yeah.
We showed you how to do it. You follow us.
Here's the result of our labor.
Right.
Here's what we did.
Right.
Here's for your benefit.
Right. Join us.
Join us. Here we go.
What do you think? We're sitting around and some government fucking bureaucrat told us how to do things?
Right.
More often than not, they're the ones holding us back.
You know, you're not going to get anywhere by waiting for like mediocrity and just or accepting mediocrity.
Yes.
And that's really what it is.
That's what we're doing now, though.
Yeah. The people who don't move ahead, the problem is they just want mediocrity. They're like, if they're comfortable or enough or whatever, that's it.
Yes.
That's it. They don't really want anything more. Or if they did, they want it pretty much handed to them.
Yes.
You know, the idea that you have to go out and strive for something.
Yeah.
I think it's being lost.
Yeah. I mean, look at
Richard. I mean, there are people like that. I mean, there's no doubt, but there's too many people, you know, I don't want to beat it to death that we talk about the nanny state, but there are too many people just looking for everything just to be covered.
Yes.
So they don't have to struggle.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's like bad parenting. You know, like I have, there used to be this guy at a restaurant I worked at like a couple of decades ago, but he was very, very successful in the restaurant business.
Right, right.
And right here in New York, and made a lot of money. And he was a guy, he was hardworking, he was a real immigrant guy, like up from his boots. And unfortunately, his kids spoiled him to death.
Yeah.
Spoiled the shit out of him. Didn't want them to suffer like he did.
Right.
Didn't want them to struggle.
Which is natural for parents.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's actually bad parenting, because what happens is, you know, you coddled them too much, and he removed all the risk and all the dangers.
Right.
Anything that they pretty much wanted, he gave it to them.
Right, right.
He was always the great dad. And the only problem is, quite frankly, I know these kids. Only one of them grew up to be like relatively like nice enough normal person. The other ones are a mess because
it's horrible.
You know, because they almost don't know how to fend for themselves.
Right, they didn't know how to struggle to succeed in life,
and they've had no, you know, they've had like no curveballs thrown to them. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, there's been no adversity because dad took care of it.
I mean, look at all the great entrepreneurs we have these days, like Richard Branson or Elon Musk and these guys. Where's the first electric car going to come from? You talk about cutting oil dependent. Where's the first electric car? Is it coming from the government? You think Obama is going to build an electric car that works for you?
Of course not.
No, it's going to be Elon Musk. It's going to be someone like Elon Musk. When we talk about
the Prius that they're always going on about.
Toyota.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's someone who's in, like, think about it. Richard Branson is figuring out how to take people on vacation to the moon. To the fucking moon. It's going to be like flying to Europe from New York.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. You love that shit.
Oh, I would go in a heartbeat.
Right. But Richard Branson's figuring that out, not NASA.
Yeah. There are a couple of those. It's very interesting you brought that up.
Yeah.
There's a couple of private industries now. There's one called, I can't remember the name, but it has the letter X in it.
Yeah.
But it's something out in California.
Yeah, it's the Ansari project.
Yeah, and they're shooting people. They're shooting rockets already into outer space, and they're already figuring out how to get to like other planets.
Or that guy who jumped from outer space to Earth, parachuted. Do you remember that a couple of months ago?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they took him up in a space balloon. He basically got to the edge of the stratosphere, and he just jumped.
Cool.
He fell like whatever 17 miles or whatever the fuck it is. He plummeted to Earth. It's like that scene from the new Star Trek where they jumped off the spaceship. It was a space jump. There's people figuring out how you could parachute from like how you could parachute from the fucking space shuttle as it's approaching Earth in case you had to.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I have to admit, I didn't hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this is I'll show it to like you that. On YouTube. It's amazing.
Because I'm always reading like the stories about yeah. the rovers on Mars.
Do you know who did it? You know who sponsored the space jump?
Somebody.
You're not going to believe this.
Somebody crazy. Okay.
Red Bull.
Oh, stop.
I'm not shitting you. They put up the money for it. Wow. That's what I'm trying to say. It's private sponsorship that always pushes these things along. Maybe you could find one or two instances where the government's done it. Like a lot of people like to point to NASA.
Well, it's had its successes.
But NASA was a private organization that was under the auspices of the government.
Yeah, in a way.
You know? But for every NASA, there's 100 failures. Or 1,000 failures.
Yeah, well, you have to have failures.
So. Yeah, but the private movement is where it's at. People taking risk, people taking chances. Yeah. People who don't have to worry about whether or not everyone is treated equally. Or that everyone...
Or treated fairly.
Let me take that back.
Yeah.
Not that they're treated equally, that everyone has equal results, equal outcomes.
Well, it's just that people are treated fairly.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about it. I mean, right. if you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. That's it. You don't like it, go work somewhere else.
Exactly. I agree with you. Equality of opportunity, not equality of result. But anyway, drifted a little bit from the original thing. So anyway, you know, obviously...
But it's a sad, tragic story.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible. And as far as the Australian Prime Minister, I mean, I think that's kind of stupid to tell people not to...
I think he was the ex-Prime Minister.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think he's... whoever it is, I think
he's
they were just upset.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the kind of like lashing out you get when you're...
And then you
emotional.
Have idiots like Piers Morgan who jump on that.
Oh, that guy's a jerk.
Why this guy is on TV? He's such a fucking idiot.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Or that guy Touré. You know? I saw... You know what I saw Touré do on Twitter? And actually, it made me laugh because he's an idiot. He tweeted something along the lines of, you know, why don't they get rid of all the guns? Why don't they have reasonable restrictions on guns? And someone tweeted him and said, well, cars kill a lot of people.
Exactly.
You know, cars kill a lot of people. And then he responded, but no one's even talking about taking away all the guns, just the ones that fire a lot of bullets, right? So I responded to him saying, well, no one's talking about taking away all the cars, just the ones that go over 5 miles an hour. Because that's what kills people when you're going more than 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
All right? So go fuck yourselves. You're not going to have a free world where it's free of danger, free of risk.
Yeah.
You got to assume that shit. Without risk, there's no reward. That's all there is to it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
As far as these kids who shot them, I mean, the first thing, like you were saying before, where are the parents of these kids?
Yeah.
What are they doing? They were at home. They were bored. And this is what they're thinking about. Let's kill someone.
Well, they're 16, 17 years old. Did you see their Twitter and their Vine?
No.
Like one of the shooters had a Vine video prior to the shooting where he's just holding like a rifle, pointing it at the camera and just saying like, yeah, man, we're going to go kill somebody and shit. Yeah. And then he was just throwing down like some sort of gang signs and shit. I don't even know what it was. Are you trying to tell me nobody noticed this?
Right.
I'm not saying the kid should have been arrested because he hadn't done anything wrong.
But it shows the lack of attention.
Yeah, nobody pulled him aside and said, what are you doing? Where'd you get this rifle from?
But that was the same thing with Columbine. Like, they found out all those stupid kids, the kids who did the shooting, they were part of something called the Trenchcoat Mafia.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And they had pictures.
Yeah.
They had something on the website. They were shooting guns out in the woods. Yeah. Like, where are the parents on all this?
It's not the gun's fault.
Exactly. Why aren't the parents saying, like, what are you doing? You're shooting guns in a wood. You're wearing those stupid outfits. You're posting.
Yeah, where are you going?
Yeah.
Where are you going at night? Where are you hanging out for 12
hours?
You know why
we go on about the parent thing? And maybe it's because of the kind of upbringing we had. But I don't understand that because, you know, I bring it up because, like, my mother and my father, when he was alive, they knew where I was every step of the way, every day.
Yeah.
They knew all my teachers in school.
Yeah.
Knew them.
Yeah,
they had every phone number in case you know. And if I wasn't home for dinner every night by 6, my mother would call the FBI. It's just crazy.
Larry, somewhere, help me.
At 6:01, my son's out here to eat his veal parmesan. Jesus Christ! Don't you understand how serious this is? Well, I'll tell you why.
No, I know what you mean because my parents were the same way. You know, I couldn't go 10 feet out of their sight. You know, without. I remember you. I don't know if you ever watch A Bronx Tale. Robert De Niro and that kid, what's his name?
Lillo Brancato.
Yeah. Do you remember the one scene where every time he tried to leave his stoop, Robert De Niro was up at the window pointing down, right?
Yeah.
That was my father, you know, in the Bronx, because we grew up in the Bronx. You know, every time I tried to stray too far from my stoop, I'd always hear John and then the pointing back to the stoop.
But
you
could find that in virtually every borough, with the exception maybe of Staten Island.
Yeah,
they have like houses, but that's a common...
Just hang out on the stoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is, the parents did that so they could keep an eye on you. so you wouldn't wander, you wouldn't get in trouble. They knew where you were.
Right, but it also shows that they care.
Yeah.
And that they're involved with their children.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're alert, and they're like, you know, what's going on with my child? I'm constantly amazed when you read these stories, even like 10 or 15 years ago. Do you remember that here in the city, there was a cop up in the Bronx, and he shot some Spanish kid in like the middle of the night. He had a machete on him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they shot him. And then the next day, they talk with the mother, and she's grieving, and she's crying.
Yeah.
And her friends are holding her up by her arms, and she can't take it. Meanwhile, her English, terrible.
Yeah.
What school does he go to? She didn't know.
Right.
Where was he at 3 o'clock? He's 16. Why is he out at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, he goes out that late.
Yeah. But he's a good boy.
Yeah, but he's a quiet boy.
Right? Yeah.
Everyone's nice, and, you know. What the hell's wrong with these people? These people. But I mean, just...
You mean the people who don't pay attention?
No, but these parents.
Yeah, the people who don't pay attention to their kids.
They seem to think that the moment they have a kid, like their responsibility
is done.
And, you know, this isn't autopilot. You have to be involved.
I mean, you have to constantly see what your kids are. It's a lot of work being a parent. You can't be a parent, still go out to the movies by yourself, want to have your downtime, have your drinks with the boys, go out with the girls, whatever. You have to be able to raise your kid. Then don't have a goddamn kid if you're not willing to commit to raising them. Sorry.
And raising them properly.
Yeah.
What are these kids doing between not even just the violence, even these kids I passed today on the street
with
their pants down. I could see their ass.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for their underwear, I could see their ass.
Right. I mean, by the way, cops love kids who are dressed like that.
Really? Why?
Because when they try to run away, they keep tripping over themselves. Seriously, I know a lot of cops that say that they love chasing these teenagers.
It impedes the getaway.
Yeah, with the low rider pants, you know, the ones that are tied up below the ass crack. They love kids like that because they constantly trip over themselves. That constantly. It's like in the 80s. Remember the sneaker craze with the lights in the 80s?
Lights, yeah.
Cops used to love those on kids because they could always chase them in the dark and see them.
They could see them.
They could see the little feet running away. So that was always cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Judo Lyrum, that's what we have to say about that. Wasn't there like something else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of like equally horrible behavior, I guess. Now switching to our elected officials.
Wonderful.
A state senator, a Republican in Colorado.
Yes.
Has got Vicky Marble.
Is she hot?
No. She's gone. Not at all. Not in any verb. But in fact, she's lost her marbles.
So she's a state legislator.
She's a state legislator in Colorado.
Right. Nice.
She's gone the extra mile. She was at a meeting.
Yes.
That they were having called the Economic Opportunity Poverty Reduction Task Force.
Well, that sounds nice. What's wrong with that?
Because it doesn't accomplish anything.
Oh, okay.
It's just as far as I'm concerned, it's just a way to sit around and yak on about poverty and come up with reasons for why people should get freebies. But at any rate, she's at this meeting and she's making a point about they were talking about the economic disparity that between whites and minorities in the country. Okay, so now they're talking specifically about African Americans and Hispanics, and she goes on to mention that one of the reasons that blacks are in poverty is because they eat fried chicken.
Is that it?
Yeah. It actually has like nothing to do with education or it has to do with eating fried chicken.
She said that.
And she went on to say, on the other hand, she loves visiting the South because when you do, you eat the fried chicken. It's the best and it's just fantastic.
Well, there she is. She's paying a compliment.
Yes, but I'm not
sure. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying someone makes good fried chicken?
Because there are a lot of reasons for economic disparities and poverty.
Yeah.
We can argue all that from taxes to education.
Right.
Very little of it has to do with Popeyes. So KFC's extra crispy. This is not really an economic argument.
What are you talking about? Of course it is.
I'm talking about that.
I mean, listen, if that chicken is so delicious that you can't go to the office, I mean, I think that would cause poverty right there.
Yes, if there were actually food that prevented you from getting up and going to work, then you have an argument. But I'm not sure that the extra crispy, which comes with the bun, is really the reason for it.
Well, listen, I think I tried to listen in on this. Here's the thing, and I know she's an idiot. Don't get me wrong. By the way, Republicans, libertarians, conservatives, I'm talking to you right now. For every liberal idiot that we hear about political correctness and everybody being equal and equality of outcome and shit like that, for every idiot on the left, every time someone on the right tries to take a step forward, Larry, We have this idiot.
Yeah.
We always end up with somebody who either says something racist or actually is racist. One or the other. Or some idiot who doesn't know anything about science. There's always going to be someone in these parts. I mean, I feel like William Buckley here. I feel like William F. Buckley. We have to purge these idiots from the right. I don't care if it costs us some elections in the near future. We got to get rid of these people.
I've been saying that forever.
Now, what you can say about ethnic, if anything, about food and ethnic groups is, the truth of the matter is, there is a diabetes epidemic.
Yes.
There is a high blood pressure epidemic.
I have high blood pressure.
But especially among African Americans. They do, as an ethnic group, have increased incidence of diabetes and blood pressure. Now, a lot of that is due to diet, right? Poor diet. But the poor diet is due to the poverty. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, so you're poor. So what's the most affordable protein you can probably get?
Cheap fast food.
It's going to be chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, compare it to pork or beef or anything else. Yeah. Chicken is usually the least expensive, you know, meat that you can get.
Right.
I mean, shit, you can't get a piece of salmon for, you know, like for one piece of salmon, you could get like five pieces of chicken or whatever, right? Yeah. Potato chips, like when you see poor people just scarfing down Doritos and stuff, that's because it's 50 cents a bag to get a bag of Doritos and you feel
that's
full.
That's what I'm saying. Cheaper, faster food is going to be more affordable.
Yes.
And more, and unfortunately,
less healthy.
Which it's less healthy. And because it's tasty, it keeps you coming back for more.
Well, fat is tasty. I mean, it sounds stupid.
No,
but when you, the tastiest steaks always have a little bit of fat on them because that's what adds the taste to the meat. When you get like 97% lean burgers, there's no taste to them. You got to drown them in ketchup, right?
Right.
So anyway, my point is, if she was trying to make the point that a lot of poor people have incidence of diabetes and, say, high blood pressure among African Americans.
She mentioned
sickle cell anemia is a genetic shortcoming of African Americans. But look, I'm Greek. You're Italian. You realize that in our genetic makeup, there's an anemia that's very specific to Mediterraneans. It's called thalassemia B.
Which makes you talk with your hands.
Yeah, exactly. but thalassemia B is the Greek, Italian, Portuguese equivalent of sickle cell.
Can we blame the Jews?
We can, whether it's true or not.
That's about as good an argument as fried chicken from the South. So I had to break up the monotony.
No, but that's true, though. Like, I mean, so there, look, she's right. There are some diseases that are very specific.
But let's be clear.
She's an idiot.
She's not talking about
right.
it. She's referring to eating fried chicken.
Right.
She chucked it up to that. I mean, she just, and then later, like all people, we see this in sports. We see this in music. We see this in people in Hollywood. People say stupid things and they say they were taken out of context or they were misunderstood or something stupid like that.
Right. But that's what I'm even trying to at least get into her thinking to say maybe I give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she was trying to say that a poor diet leads to this, this, and this.
I understand you're trying to work through her
logic,
air quotes.
But she's an idiot.
She's an idiot. I mean, this is and also the Denver Post or one of the Denver Courier, one of the local papers did an editorial and they called her finger licking stupid. So that's pretty good.
Well, when will Republicans, especially Republicans, realize that when they say shit like this, unless they're, first of all, they shouldn't say it at all, because there's very little upside to it. The second thing is, when you say stuff like that, you have to work 20 times as hard to make sure you're not even remotely offensive sounding. Maybe you shouldn't have to, but in this world, they're just, you know, especially with the liberal media, they're just waiting to pounce on you to discredit the entire movement, the entire party. I was on Twitter, and someone, John Fugelsang, whatever his name is, constantly says indicative of Republicans and right wingers are these Tea Party guys. And then you'll saw some idiot like, I don't like the blacks. They're genetically not as smart as the white man.
All right, so he's like he gets like a few tweets from some idiots, like
right, and then he'll make the statement: this is what's wrong with the Tea Party. This is what's wrong with Republicans. This is what's wrong with conservatives.
Well, that's what's wrong with liberals. I mean, that's just cherry picking a few bigots. And
the same way we could do that on the left,
but that's a legitimate point you're making. It hurts, you know, everyone, and especially our side of the aisle.
Yeah.
when you have people like this, or even those guys, remember we covered a few months back, there were a couple of senators, Republicans, right, who said that, like, rape, like, lie, another bunch of
you
idiots
can't,
saying,
you can't get pregnant while you're being raped.
While you're being raped. And
what was his name? Senator Arkin or Aiken? Somebody, Aiken, Senator Aiken.
And another one said, like, just lie back and enjoy it. Or like,
oh, no, that was that guy on TV, but yeah.
No, but that was like a, no, that was some guy in Texas. But
yeah,
you get these comments from people, and
right,
it's just a bomb.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you can't afford to, you can't really afford people like that, because they just destroy the entire movement. So you have to be able to say, these people should not speak for anyone. Of course, it's a stacked deck, because not only, I mean, people say, well, what about Fox News? But let's face it, 90% of the media is liberal.
Yeah,
you can't avoid it.
No.
So they're just waiting for these opportunities. The same way they're waiting for a white kid to shoot a black man, the same way they're waiting for anything racial, they're going to wait for any stupid comment to make it seem that the entire right wing is based or largely comprised of these morons. I told you, the one time Pete Dominic invited me to call into a show at Sirius, the first thing he did when I got on the show, he started attacking me. He goes, do you believe in global warming? What about religion? Do you believe in stem cell? And he was so shocked when I just went, you know, I have degrees in biology. I have degrees in computer science. I have a master's degree in sciences. Why are you questioning my background on this?
Yeah, what's his background?
Exactly. He's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian.
He's a bald comedian.
Right, exactly. Now, again, my point there was not to show him up necessarily, but why is the assumption that if you're on the right, you must be less educated? That is nothing more than the liberal hype machine.
Yeah.
That education means you must be progressive. You must be liberal.
Right.
Why?
Why?
Why is that?
I know liberals I've met right here in this city. I've met my life where
morons.
just blithering idiots repeating out talking points and things that they heard on the news.
But you and I never walk around. Honestly, I don't remember
I don't talk to anybody like that.
No, but I don't remember you and I walking around and saying this is indicative of the left. These three fucking idiots are indicative of everybody on the left.
Right.
We don't say that. We might say that about the policy, right? We'll say, this is what nanny state does. This is what socialism does, right?
Right.
That's different. You're talking about a policy.
Right.
We're not using individuals to then extract it to the entire party.
Right.
You can't do that. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
And yet they're more than happy to do that on the left.
They always personalize it and they always individualize it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny? Just because I mentioned his name, you know what's funny about John Fugelsang? I saw a lot of his tweets because he was talking about Bradley Manning.
Oh, right.
You heard about this, right? He got, 38 years or something like that?
30-something years, but that's the small story.
Let me ask you something. Do you view him as a hero or a traitor? What do you view him as?
No, he's a traitor.
He's a traitor, right?
Yeah. He's no different than Snowden.
Right.
I mean, a lot of
people think he's a hero because he exposed secrets.
Oh, yeah.
You don't view him that way, though.
Out in Queens, there's a section. I went to eat there one night. They had people put all this stuff on the wall. But it said Bradley Manning hero.
Ugh.
And his picture, and you know, support him, and he's doing the right thing, and he's exposing like government this and that.
Well,
but I noticed there was no specific reference to Obama.
Right,
typical leftist. Like if he was Bush, you would have had Bush's face with like the Hitler mustache.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about that is, first of all, the second he got convicted, he announced to the world he wants to be known as Chelsea,
because
he's undergoing a sex change. He's in the middle.
I think it's just a way to escape the country.
I think he just took the term prison bitch way too literally. he's probably going to be taking it in the ass, because you ever see him? He doesn't look like a soldier. You know,
no.
He's all tiny and skinny.
No, he looks like a guy who'd be living in Chelsea.
Very effeminate looking. So anyway, so this fucking traitor got what he deserved, and he announced that he's going to be a woman, right? So, of course, on Twitter, you had the typical, like, oh, you know, he's a fag, he's this, maybe that's why he did it, so he could pay for a sex change, you know, whatever. Fugelsang agreed with someone who said, see, this is when all the transphobes come out. And I couldn't take it. I had to tweet him, and I go, wait a second. Is that part of the new liberal plan right now to get the word transphobe accepted into the lexicon, like homophobe?
Yeah, because they want transgender to be accepted. Yeah.
Hey, listen, go fuck yourselves. I don't believe in homophobe. We've talked about this. That's the wrong word for what you're trying to say. Nobody's afraid of homosexuals. Let's get this straight.
Right.
And if you're anti-homosexual, it doesn't mean you secretly want to be a homosexual. Let's get these two. Let's get these two liberal myths out of the way up front, right. Jude O'Larian.
Right, but it's not. But it's not all right to hate them.
No, I didn't say hate them.
No,
but the point is, you can tolerate them without accepting them, and that's the natural state of things legally. I have to tolerate someone who's gay. I don't have to promote it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to accept it. I tolerate it.
Yeah.
I don't bash them. I don't physically touch them. I don't try to beat them up or anything like that.
Yeah, but for people who do hate them. I mean, not everybody's just taking it like you're yeah. You just described your position as you tolerate, but you don't accept it. All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it across the board because I could care less who's gay.
Right.
But for people who really do hate them.
Right.
And really want to hurt them and do violence and, you know, there has to be some word other than homophobe that they can learn because homophobe is not
how about accurate. Assholes
how about just bigots
or, how yeah. about assault and battery perpetrators. There's a lot of shit for criminals.
How about just anti-gay
or criminals or something like that. Why now must we try? See, this is how you push an agenda and you never get anyone on your side. Transphobe is ridiculous. Why? Listen, the guy wants a sex change, let him get a sex change. I don't think the government should be paying for it.
No.
That's, right? That's I don't care if he is in fucking prison. If he wants to get a sex change, let him
come
pay
out
for
of
it.
His pocket.
Yeah, let him cut it. Or if his daddy wants to have a daughter instead of a son, fine, let him pay for it.
Right.
Right? But the point is, don't try to get me to accept it. I can say he can do it and still say that's fucked up, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Or it's not normal for someone who's born a dude to all of a sudden want to have a vagina.
It's okay with me if he does it as long as he appears on UJIS. Then that way I can enjoy the Bradley.
Now let me ask you a question. If you knew that he had a sex change.
Yes.
And then you tried to bang Chelsea.
Yes.
Does that make you gay? That's an old question, but does it?
Yeah, that's from the movie Slapshot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the hockey movie.
Okay.
He goes, there's a guy, he tells another hockey player, he goes, that is, this guy's wife has become a lesbian. He goes, does that make him a fag? So the question, the answer to your question is, did you know about it at the time that you had
no,
sex?
No, I'm saying, you know that this guy's now a chick.
Right.
And you, so if you I bang her.
Yeah. That makes you either gay or bisexual or something. It's something confusing.
Half and half?
Half and half. Or as Archie Bunker once said, what do you call it? Hermaphrodite. Or he goes,
hermaphrodite or something, yeah. Or half a fruit, yeah, or
said,
whatever you call it.
A freak
them.
With a little bit too much and not enough in either. I don't know what it's called, but if I knew ahead of time that you've had a I would not be able to have sex with you.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
So you're not accepting. You're tolerant, but you're not accepting.
I'm tolerant, but I'm not putting my penis in you. I don't care what that translates into.
And you know, it's not a real vagina.
It's one of my narrow-minded points of view. Only real women need apply.
You know, it's not really a vagina at that point. It's just like your cock split in half, pulled back, and hollowed out. Yeah.
What a wonderful thought. A love tunnel reduced to a penis. That's terrible.
Yeah, but anyway, so that would be my point. Like, there's no, don't ever come to me and say I'm a transphobe. Actually, don't even call me a homophobe. Call me something else. But don't say homophobe or transphobe. What? Just because, look, first of all, if you're talking about hatred of someone, the correct usage is the prefix mis, as in misanthrope, misogynist. Take it from the Greek guy, the word for hate. When you go from Greek to English, it's M-I-S, miss, miss. That's why you're a misogynist if you hate women. If you hate people in general, you're a misanthrope. That is the correct usage, educated liberals, the people who think they are so highly educated. Phobe is fear. Homophobe, fear of homosexuals.
How about Miss USA?
Good one.
Thank
anyway,
you.
So liberals, that's it. Don't try to hoist transphobe on us. We're on to you. We don't want to hear it.
I don't like transphobe also because it sounds like I'm switching trains at a subway station.
Unbelievable, Judo Larian.
Yes. What else is there for us to bash for the next 10 minutes of our illustrious show?
Well, I think it's hilarious. One of the other things that is interesting to me is the way the Obama administration is touting all these victories for Obamacare. Have you noticed this? Like every tweet coming out of the White House is how Obamacare is working, how Obamacare is wonderful. Yet they've missed something like 50-60% of their own legally mandated deadlines.
And there are all these people dropping off health care.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? If I was an employer right now, go fuck yourself. Go on Obamacare.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I care?
This is a mess. I mean, this is just a mess.
All these full-time jobs becoming either eliminated or reduced to part-time jobs so that people won't have to, so they won't have to buy into this healthcare nonsense.
That's terrible. And you're going to have thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people in the next year or two off their regular care just to get on
Obamacare. And for people who think that the unemployment rate is down, no, it isn't, because most of those jobs are part-time jobs. Most of them are not permanent jobs.
People have stopped looking.
They've given up hope. And you could see where small and medium-sized businesses, even some that aren't that small. I mean, who was it? Was it Chick-fil-A and was it Wendy's or one of those chains?
One of the other large chains is just said, forget just dropping
it.
People.
And anybody who's working 40 hours can now not work more than 24 hours because that would make them full-time. So they're only letting them work part-time.
Right.
They're willing to hire two part-time people as opposed to one full-time
person.
Because
they get out of having their medical coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, how about the government spending money to hire Obamacare activists?
Oh, please. Yeah, they're
Obamacare
they're out there
organizers
trying to tell us the perks of it and that we just don't understand it.
Oh, you also know what's hilarious is this OFA, Organized for America, which is one of the president's groups. One of the funniest things is that whenever they have these rallies somewhere, nobody shows up. But the media pretends that people did show up.
Yeah.
So when you have a Tea Party rally, thousands of people show up because they're sick of high taxes. They're sick of the unemployment. They're sick of the government telling them what to do.
They're sick of
this OFA for Obamacare in Washington, D.C., for example.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. One person showed up. And yet it was headline news in the media.
Was it George Soros?
I don't know who it was. Jesus. But even Obama took pictures of it and tweeted them. Look at the success of our OFA, blah, blah, blah. All fake. All staffers. So you know what, Obama and Obama supporters, it's about time you admit your boy's losing. He's falling down the hill. He's stumbling down the hill. He can't climb back up again. This is a lost cause. And hopefully you'll run that idiot Hillary next. That's the one I'm waiting for. Because I want to find out how she's going to tell me that Benghazi doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That Ted Stevens' family doesn't matter. How he called for help 30 times and nobody answered.
And you realize all this stuff, what the IRS looked into and tea parties and things.
Nonsense.
They're referring to all these as phony scandals.
Right, of course.
Phony scandals. They're not real. Yeah.
So please go ahead and tell me how these things don't matter. Just go ahead and tell me that.
Yeah.
All right, Judo Larian. Hey, you know, before I forget, excuse me, before I forget, do you know last week's episode?
Yes.
Towards the end when we speculated that there may be two guys like Big Fat John and Judo Larian podcasting
in
Egypt.
I believe you referred to it as two assholes.
Yes, two assholes.
Like us.
Like us, wearing turbans, sitting on a couple of camels, smoking some...
camels?
I was going to say smoking a hookah, but okay.
Hookah.
A hookah. Hookah lounge. But you want to hear something funny?
Yes.
I actually heard from two of our listeners independently who are of Middle Eastern extraction descent.
Okay.
Who thought we were hilarious.
Oh, did they say anything about my speaking Farsi?
Yes. They seem to.
They didn't understand what I was saying, apparently.
Yeah, but apparently the Mecca riot, we should be franchising.
Yeah, because the whole world is rioting.
The whole world is rioting over and over again, I think.
So what did they say?
Nothing. They just said that they enjoyed it. They thought it was funny, but it's funny to me that, like, we, you know, that everywhere in the world, we already know there's a Pussy Riot going on in Russia.
Yes.
With horrible music. With and
awful music.
And occasionally you get a six or a seven of a hot chick singing there.
What's great about the Pussy Riot is simply that it's kind of like professional wrestling.
Is it?
Know, it's all show.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's fake. It's very entertaining. Like, in the case of the Pussy Riot, it's hilarious because even though, I mean, I'm sorry, but the music really isn't that good.
Yeah.
But, like, they'll run onto, like, the top of, like, a small building.
Right.
Like, on the second floor.
Right.
And you see, like, these construction workers sitting across the street.
Right.
And then they put on, like, their Lucha Libre mask and they, and, like, pull their skirts up and go, Putin likes this. Putin doesn't like that. He's afraid of it. Thank you. And, like, they'll leave the stage.
Yeah, really, their whole thing is just shock value.
Yeah.
It really is like sort of the Sex Pistols of
course. Look how they got into trouble. They ran into a Russian Orthodox church, and they danced up on, like,
On the altar.
And, of course, the only thing which was stupid, I saw the trial. They claimed they didn't do it on purpose. And I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, the amps, guitars, and basses all made it up on the altar.
I know, but
by accident.
Yes. It's not like you ran into a park and said, let me jump on this park bench, you know, and jump around. Like, man, this is a very deliberate act of civil disobedience and disrespect.
And by the way, in most civilized countries, that's okay. They get a fine for trespassing.
Really?
Maybe they pay for a noise ordinance.
Well, when was the last time you heard a band playing in a church?
No, but I'm saying you wouldn't go to a fucking Siberian outpost for 3 years.
You're doing Mother Russia, let me tell you.
Especially since, ironically enough, Putin is a big Orthodox, Russian Orthodox churchgoer.
Yes, he is.
You wouldn't think that, like, a killer.
You wouldn't think Tony Soprano, who fishes with no shirt on, would really be into that, but he is.
Because he really is a mobster, let's face it.
Oh, yes, he's a criminal.
Let's face it.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Somehow I'm not worried about Putin coming over here.
I am.
Yes,
I'm more worried about him than I am Obama.
Yes, allegedly. There you go.
Allegedly. Putin, you know I love you.
But as much of a criminal as he allegedly is, and as much gangster as he likes to promote himself as being, he turns out he's very religious.
Yeah, he is.
And he's tolerating. You wouldn't think that in Mother Russia they would be tolerating the church as an official thing, but they're tied in with them there.
Oh, it's huge over there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. In fact, they're getting a little trouble right now because they're going to have the Winter Games in Sochi, that town. They're having a whole anti-gay, they have an anti-gay law there.
Well, at the World Games
now, some of the athletes are complaining about it.
Well, at the World Games, they're all, like, making out on the podiums, you know, as a form of protest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, what is this anti-gay shit? You know, seriously.
Are any of them lesbians?
I don't know, but they sure act like it.
Nobody likes hot lesbian action more than me.
Exactly.
That's why I watch Lawrence O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow. Back-to-back lesbian action.
Oh, no, allegedly.
Allegedly.
It's not even alleged. That's just satire, ladies and gentlemen.
Just giving Lawrence a shout-out.
Yes, a man can't be a lesbian, so that is satire.
That's right. He's not a lesbian.
And Maddow already said she's a lesbian.
Right, but O'Donnell is not a lesbian.
Right.
But he has attended WNBA games.
All right, listen, before we get gets us into deeper trouble here.
Oh, bring it on.
Bring it on. Yeah. Halifax. All right, Judo Lariam. Why don't we say that? Why don't the folks join us again? Maybe we'll have a bonus show at the end of the week for them. Who?
Let's play name that tune.
Let's play Name That Arab.
Yeah,
Sheikh Adnan El Casey would probably be the right answer 98% of the time.
I'm getting a tattoo of him. And Vern Gagne, like, looking confused.
The AWA ruled.
Ruled.
For its stupidity. Just absolutely ruled.
It ruled for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it ruled because Vern Gagne's senility seeped into the product, which is why it ruled.
And sapped him of his hair, too.
That, too. You know how he ended up getting in trouble, right? In the old age home, he lost his mind.
Well, he was
and he thought it was a real wrestling match, and he actually killed somebody with, like, a sleeper hold or something.
He was like 70 years old.
More than
he was like 70-something years old, and some 80-year-old guy, like, shoved him or something, and he put him in, like, a figure four and a crab, and before he knew it, the guy was dead. It was terrible. And, like, they had to go in there and tell him, Vern, like, it's not
real.
Like, this is real. Now you're, like, you're going to be criminally prosecuted. And he said, like, where's my title?
Yeah. Because that guy was actually a real champion back in the day.
Yeah,
he was like a real amateur killer. You know, he was. He knew his shit.
He was, but unfortunately, there's no money in amateur wrestling.
No,
it's
not at all.
Professional wrestling.
Now they could go into the UFC. make some money at the UFC, because wrestlers do well for themselves in the UFC.
Yes, they do.
In the cage fighting. But like before that, you're right, there was no money in it.
There's no money. You had to be a professional.
You could be the greatest wrestler on earth, and the best you could hope for was to be the head coach in a college somewhere, earn like $40,000 a year.
No, not even.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible, you know, but hey. And they kicked it out of the Olympics now, so you can't even be an Olympic wrestler.
You can't even
anymore.
Do that anymore. But very quickly before we end the show, yeah. I want to give a shout out back to the Mecca Riot guys.
Yes,
and say that John did keep his promise not to shower.
So. Yes, there you go. All right, until you join us again at the end of this week, hopefully. This is Big Fat John
and Judah Larriam.
Peace.